Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome. We're so glad to have you with us here this evening on Ask Herbal Health Expert Susan Weed, a two-hour radio show each Tuesday night. Herbal medicine is people's medicine, simple, safe, effective. Please bring your curiosity and health questions. Susan will enlighten, surprise, and delight you. I know most of you know Susan Weed already. She's my mom, so I know her. But for those of you who have not yet met Susan, I'd like to share. She is the author of the Wise Woman Herbal series, wonderful books on women's health and herbal medicine, including Wise Woman Herbal for the Childbearing Year, Breast Cancer, Breast Health! The Wise Woman Way, Healing Wise, The Wise Woman Herbal, New Menopausal Years, The Wise Woman Way, Down There, Sexual and Reproductive Health, The Wise Woman Way.
And Abundantly Well, Seven Medicines, The Wise Woman Way, the newest book in the Wise Woman Herbal series.
So exciting.
In addition to being the editor at Ash Tree Publishing and writing her books, Susan is the director of the Wise Woman Center in Woodstock, New York. The Wise Woman Center is open to the public on appointment-only basis. She offers weekend workshops, intensives, and apprenticeships throughout the season. Susan is also available to you online via wisewomanmentor.com. There you can go and view her weekly e-zine. You can subscribe to receive a notification via email each week, or you could join her mentorship program. Susan also offers distance learning correspondence courses and online courses.
TheWiseWomanSchool.com. Join us there for colorful, instructive, easy video courses, including Easy Herbal Medicine with Susan Weed, Happy Knees, a cancer diagnosis, adaptogens for long life, and Abundantly Well companion course, wisewomanschool.com.
You can also just go to her website, susanweed.com, where you will find thousands of pages online with recipes, articles, art features, and so much more. Well, for now, let's see what Susan has to share with us this evening. Thank you, and welcome, Susan.
Thank you, Justine, and welcome, Sarah Ellen.
Hello, Susan. How are you doing this evening?
Oh, doing pretty well. You know, it's the same old big bad world out there. So we try to have it be the nicer world inside, huh? Remembering
yes.
that the only citizen of our inner mind is ourself. So, treat yourself well. Think well thoughts of all, because you're the one who's thinking them.
Yes. Yep. Gotta go to bed with yourself, wake up with yourself every day.
For the rest of your life.
Oh, so what's going on?
Well, I went to a birthday party this past weekend, and I ate something that I've never had in my life before, and I ate a lot of it because I figured I'll probably never get to ever eat this again, which was Brussels sprouts, half and fried in duck fat. So the outer leaves were kind of crispy and like, because they fried up, and then the inner part was like soft but crunchy. It was, they were really good.
Sounds really good.
Yeah. We're celebrating a friend's 50th birthday party. Oh, how wonderful.
How nice y'all together to celebrate.
Yes, how nice that the weather allowed us to, because we've been getting snow here and snow there and snow the other place.
A bit erratic. That's how it's been here anyway.
How about down at your place?
Yeah, just like you said, it, a little snow here and then some sun and then some wind and rain and some snow. Right now it's cooling back off. Definitely getting the below freezing night still, and then warming up to the 40s in the day, but supposed to get some snow this weekend, but they're hesitating to say it's going to stick much. Even if a decent amount falls, it's ground's warming up pretty good here. I saw some plants breaking through.
Ooh, I was talking to Astrid, who lives up high in the mountains in Colorado. And she says, this is the coolest month for her. She sent me a picture of her front yard. There's still like 3.5 feet of snow.
Wow.
And she said, it was pretty warm today. It was up to 19. She says, and now she has to spend the next month either looking at or pointedly not looking at all the pictures of green shoots in everybody else's garden.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, I feel like, oh, that's usually us in March, but this year has, knock wood, been different, and I hope it stays that way. I hope we don't get, I don't know, a slam down at the end of March or beginning of April where, you know, the trees have started to blossom and then they freeze off. That's always, the flowers are messed up.
It is always awful. It's so true. It does really mess the flowers up to have that freeze at that point.
Yes.
Yeah.
Fingers crossed it's staying warm for real here. And once it gets started, we really go.
I am so enjoying my amaryllis flowers this winter. It's a small indulgence that I spend a little money on amaryllis bulbs. And, you know, they have such huge flowers. It's, like, so worth it. And the good quality ones will have two stalks, one right after another. So you get one flower, and then while it's still open, another. So there's like four flowers, and then those kind of die off, and then the second stalk starts to flower. And the flowers on the biggest one were as big as dinner plates.
Whoa.
So they're totally worth it to keep yourself just like smiling through the last part of the cold days. As and Corey and I were talking about, well, how do you get them to bloom the next year? And I don't know. I wish I could figure out what I did, because almost all of my old ones are reblooming this year. It's the first time they've rebloomed. In fact, one that I started from a seed that I created from an amaryllis 20 years ago is actually going to bloom.
Wow.
You know, if you're patient enough, the plants will reward you, but sometimes you do have to be very patient.
20 years, that's patience.
So to see that it's taken that long for that amaryllis bulb to get that big, which isn't that big at all, it's like kind of onion-sized, and the really big one I bought is like bigger than a softball. I mean, these bulbs are big. So,
wow.
I was thinking, next winter I have to send Sarah Ellen some amaryllis. She'll really enjoy them.
They're such happy flowers, for sure. Oh, wow. Hey, you know, I'm meaning to ask you, you shared about your poinsettias. Did you ever get them to turn red by keeping them in the dark?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Yes, they got very red.
Nice. I've wondered that several times and meant to ask you, and so thank you.
Yeah, nice. Elizabeth, and the parts that turned red are still red.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So they've given us, you know, months of beauty.
That's
December,
so cool.
January. Already they've already been red for 3 months now. It's really nice.
Wow. How fun.
Yeah. And it was kind of fun, you know, taking them in and putting them out, taking them in and putting them out.
Mm-hmm.
Although one could see how, you know, having a light on a timer would be the way to go. But
right.
But since the dark is so important to them, you couldn't just, like, keep them, like, at the window where they'd get light during the day. Because if there was even, like, the lights from traffic or something like that, that would be enough to disrupt them. They really have to be in the dark. I felt good about putting them in a closet.
Mm.
Where I knew they would not be struck by light. I have a question for you. Do you know who I'm interviewing tonight?
I was told that there is not a guest for this evening, so.
Well, I guess that's why I can't find any information about the non-guest.
Ding, 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 ding. That's
true. Isn't it wonderful that you discover that you're doing everything right, even though it all looked really strange?
Yep.
Yeah. All right. Well, okay. So all of those of you out there who've been saying, this is it. This is the night to ask those questions. We get the whole 2 hours for questions. Perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So anything else you want to tell us about?
No, I don't have anything too exciting to share, so I see we have a hand.
Well, let's go ahead and see if I have any answers to the questions tonight.
All right, sounds good. We'll get going. I'll remind everyone listening that if you have a question and would like to speak live with Susan this evening, please press 1 on your telephone screen pad, and that will raise your hand in the queue. And we'll know to open your line so you will be able to ask your question. Our first caller has dialed in from the 603 area code. From the 603, you are live with Susan.
Hello.
Hi, Susan. First, I'd like you to know how much I appreciate you offering a free sign-up for the upcoming Hypericum conference for those of us who can't afford to pay for it. I need to ask you... to tell you, I tried signing up the first time you mentioned it. I think it was several weeks ago, but I had trouble. It didn't go through, and so I'm asking if you can please provide detailed sign-up directions one more time so that I can be able to listen to it for free.
Sarah Ellen, can you answer this question?
Sure. I'll give you a few options. The easiest is to go to wisewomanschool.com. And if you have an account, you'll need to log in to your account. You don't need to. You can log into your account. If you need to create a new account because you have a new email or something like that, you can elect to do that using your new email. And then you will find the Hypericum Conference listed on the wisewomanschool.com website. It's the very first class listed. Another way to get there is to go to Susan's Facebook page and look for a post about the Hypericum Conference. There have been several now since February, but there was one as recently as 10 days ago. That will also, if you click that link, take you to the Wise Woman School where you will be able to sign up for the conference. Other than that, you can look at your e-zine. I believe last week had the Hypericum Conference link in it, and the links were also there in the month of February in the e-zine. And that should do it. And like I said, if you need to, if you don't have a password or anything like that, there's buttons for remembering your password. But if you need to create a new email account or something like that, you can do that as well and sign up at thewisewomanschool.com.
Okay, so if I've never signed up for an account, I can do that for the first time? You have to have an
right.
account first before you can sign up?
Except yes,
maybe on the
account.
Facebook page? You still need an account for the Facebook page sign up?
You don't need a Facebook account, but you will need to have a sign-in and a log-on at thewisewomanschool.com because that's what you will have to type in every day of the conference in order to make sure that it's you gaining access to the conference.
Okay, so I do have to sign up with an account because I've never done that. Is that what you're saying? At thewisewomanschool.com?
Yes, and it's very simple. There's not a fee for that. It's basically just associating an email with you and a password and a username so that we only communicate your things with you, and then you are able to access them appropriately with the password and the username you choose.
Okay. Wish me luck, because I failed to do it the first time, and then I lost the I didn't know how to get the directions again. So thank you so much for that, both of you, Sarah Ellen and Susan. Thank you so much for all that you do.
You are welcome. Sure. Green blessings. Good night.
Green blessings.
All right. And I'll remind everyone listening, if you have a question and would like to speak live with Susan this evening, please press 1 so that we can see your hand go up in the queue and get your line opened up. I don't see any hands raised at this time. I did get an emailed question earlier this week. Oh, there we go, is a hand, and I've got the email question up too, so we'll be ready with that. The next caller has dialed in from the 845 area code. From the 845, you are live with Susan.
Hello, Susan.
Hi.
Hi. Oh, I was looking forward to the full moon tonight, but it got really cloudy.
I agree with you. I had exactly the same thought. It's been so clear, and now that the moon is full, we're not going to get to really see it.
Wow.
And have you been noticing Jupiter and Venus hanging out in the sky so beautifully together?
Embarrassingly, no. I've been couch-ridden with the window facing the eastern sky, which is where the moon is right now.
And where Venus and Jupiter are.
Yeah. And I've been in a really foul mood because I broke my foot again. That's the third time in 4 months. And the fourth time in a year and a half. But each
were you doing the same kind of thing each time?
No.
So
I was diagnosed. I was diagnosed with some severe bone atrophy. And I've been working really hard to try to build it back up, but the complication is that, well, they used to call it RSD, now they call it chronic pain nerve syndrome or something like that.
So you've broken your ankle several times.
My entire foot shattered.
Last time you broke your ankle, what did you do to heal it?
Well, it's the foot and the ankle, and what happened was it was determined that the bone was so deteriorated that that there was microfractures in every bone in the foot ankle area. Well, the foot area. Major break.
Wasn't about the diagnosis or
what did I do?
I was
so
asking
done,
you what you did to heal it.
I do apologize. Well,
it's quite okay. You don't have to apologize. Just answer my question.
Okay. The bone marrow leaked out like liquid
water.
What
did you do? What did you do?
I did what you recommended and what the doctor recommended, which was to treat the type of nerve damage.
I'm sorry. So, I thought we were talking about a broken bone.
I'm going to tell you what I did. I did the comfrey. I did the arnica. I did the hypericum.
Okay, so you worked with comfrey in what way?
I drank it and I put it on it externally in a salve, oil.
Salve or a comfrey oil on your ankle, and you drank comfrey. And how did you prepare the comfrey you drank?
Like you know, an infusion, the quart with the water, and let it sit and then drink it.
So you weighed out an ounce of dried comfrey leaf.
Well, my scale broke, so I kind of like just guessing from what I knew it looked like in the jar. But
and was the infusion darker than coffee?
Oh yeah, black is nice.
Black,
like,
okay. You probably got enough.
What the doctor said.
Excellent. And you did the rebrew.
Mm-hmm.
Good.
But,
I'm a little
it's been
wrinkling
injured.
My brow over what has caused your bones to deteriorate so much. Do you have any ideas?
I do, and that's what I would like to talk about. It's been injured repeatedly so many times from a major accident I had 22 years ago, and none of the doctors took me serious when I told them. So right before this all happened, for about a year, like every step I took, it felt like it was going to just break. The things I did before to keep me going, I lost. So I kind of rolled the dice and took a chance and said, well, we'll see what happens. I worked very hard just not to lose the leg for 22 years. So the foot, anyway, has put me down, and I'm getting a little bit foul about it because, well, it looks like either I'm never going to walk again, or I have to pull a rabbit out of a hat and have some major reconstruction done. But, the thing is the marrow problem leaked out of all the holes in the bones. Like it got so osteoporosis that it became so brittle, like a dried up piece of sponge, they described it as. I do have a good doctor in the city, and she did say it usually takes a couple of years for this kind of thing to resolve enough to even get an operation, because the danger would be that it wouldn't heal if they operate it. So it's a bone marrow thing too. And it's so ironic because for years before that, I was making the bone broth and drinking it every day. That was my breakfast, a cup of bone broth, and not cheap bone broth, like homemade, like gelatin bone broth.
Right. That's why I'm just like,
yeah,
so
it's an injured foot. It's
puzzled that your body is so in despair. Because
well,
I can see that you're treating yourself really well.
It's just the one part. It was injured very badly many times for 22 years.
In abundantly well, there is a meditation for removing past trauma.
That's what I need. I'm stuck in a bad spot right now.
That's in the book. It's written down in the book, and you can have somebody read it to you, read it to yourself. And it's in the companion course at wisewomanschool.com.
Yeah.
I read that meditation out loud, so you just have to close your eyes and follow along.
My browser doesn't let me into the school. I can access your website, and I'm having such a problem
couple
of months.
You can get a copy of the book or borrow it from the library and read the meditation and do it.
Mm-hmm. One of the things the doctor told me is something I've heard you say, which is to put both feet in front of the mirror and imagine that they're no different from each other, and the mirroring image thing. And that did work. No, I keep working it up. I keep working it up. I'm getting better.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lose my foot. The thing is, it just keeps happening, and I'm upset that my life is put on such a hold.
I really hear you.
I've been riding around on a garden cart 12 inches off the floor for a year and a half, and every time it gets better, and I chance, and I put a little weight on it, boom. It goes again. And so I'm having just troubles with...
How disappointing.
Yeah, and now my mind is just filled with, so many years of ancestors just flooding my mind. I feel like my mind's gonna don't have my body to relax with in the way that I'm accustomed to, which is walking and moving and doing. You know, Grandmother Twyla used to say, "Saying ain't doing."
Didn't she though?
Yeah.
One of the things that I learned from women who are in situations where they don't have access to their body either the way they want to or the way they used to was to use your power of memory. So anytime you can remember any of those things, I also saw that I traveled with a man who had lost a leg, and he would dream about running.
Oh, I do. I do, I do, I do.
Yeah.
All the time.
So your job then is to let that be real. And I really understand. There's a part of me that wants to be a whiny brat about the fact that they, like, cut me open and sew me back together again. I really, really just want to be, like, whiny about it. But really, like, what on earth is that going to get me? Come on, Susan.
Yeah, I don't want to be whiny about it.
Yes, it's okay to acknowledge that we do. We're not going to do it. It's okay to acknowledge that we do. We don't have to shut that voice down. We can say, yeah. Yeah, it's rough. I hear you.
Well, I've been through this.
Right? I'm reminded of saying to my friend with multiple sclerosis, if my body malbehaved the way yours does, I would just throw myself on the floor and have a fit. And she said, but you wouldn't be able to get up.
Well, I'm not whining about it. Not
I'm
at
saying
all.
You are. And I'm encouraging you to. I'm
whine
saying you're not whining
it?
Enough.
Well, you know what I am doing?
Find
getting,
a time and a space for yourself to acknowledge that whine. And you are doing some of it, which is how I know, because you're saying, oh, you know, it's starting to get on my nerves. It's limiting me, and it is. And I really hear that. It's not fun.
I'm getting worried what I'm choosing to do instead, which is overwork my brain. And I feel like I'm just in this place that I can't organize because I can't get up and do the things that need to be done with what I'm putting in my brain. I can't get it out. What's in my brain now is so extraordinary. It's, whew.
If you want to get it out, take your hands to some soil. Put your hands in the soil. Bury your hands in soil. If you can't get soil, get some actual clay kitty litter.
I have soil. I have
your hands
whole...
in it and put the contents of your brain into the soil. Earth will take care of it. You don't have to worry about vetting it. Just give it all away.
I like to plant the plants, and somebody gave me some okra seeds, and I got one to come up, and it's looking really good. It's got a big, bright red flower. And this is a hibiscus, so it's, you know, supposed to be nice and big, like a small dinner plate, spineless. But the other five didn't come up, and then I Googled it, and it said that these seeds need to be, like, sandpapered down a little bit to get the coating off of them to encourage the germination. And I thought, wow, maybe that's what's happening to me. Maybe I'm like sandpapering off some kind of thing in my thoughts. And it's coming to fruition. It's really amazing when your body isn't your world, what your mind has to try to do to compensate for that.
Well, I like where you're going with that. I like whenever we use something big like that and allow ourselves to benefit from the symbolic nature of life.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think you really understand.
Why is the bone growing? And even though, you know, many, and I want to say most doctors aren't knowledgeable enough of this condition, and they would just say, oh, there's no hope for you. Nobody's going to operate. The bone can't be fixed because it won't, it's so dead. So normally I would go for, and now the FDA has banned that from everybody
what?
But hospitals. Yes, and even our local hospitals got rid of their machines and won't do it anymore. And that's always been my go-to. That's how I've kept my leg for 22 years is with light and sound therapy. But the light therapy, yes. Yes, they have. They've said it's not federally approved anymore. And of course, any federal run institution that relies on that kind of money isn't going to keep that machine around, because who are they going to sell it to? How many people are walking in with cash? Not too many, although that's how I solved my problem originally was by taking my cash, going through the back door, and getting what I needed. But that ship has sailed, and it's just getting really frustrating. So I tried to look into the sound therapy, and I'm not going to go all the way to an appointment just for a five-minute ultrasound. I could do that with a tuning fork, and I am. I am doing that, but I'm just really upset that this light therapy saved my back, saved my legs, saved my life. I did it for years and years and years and years and years and years and years, and I was walking and I was good. I finally could walk on my own again, in fact, and I was hiking through the mountains, miles into the woods, up the hills and the gullies and the rocks and everywhere. I did have help of my dog, but that's beside the point. You know, it's beside the point now. So, whew, yeah, I'm really in a pickle.
Well, I'm not sure that I have any way for you out of your pickle, because the things that you have used seem to be inaccessible to you. But again, this is where your good memory really plays a crucial role in your health, because we know that your body remembers that therapy.
Yes.
Remembers.
Oh, I get it.
Right.
Oh, I didn't even think of that. Yes.
So you set yourself up in a therapy room, and you go in there, and you have that therapy. You remember as it in as much detail as you can. And
yes,
if it was a 5-minute session or a 15-minute session or so, however long it was, you sit there meditating or remembering or evoking whatever word you want to use for that amount of time.
And
your body will respond. You're very easily trainable. And it's one of the things that I think is a secret that people don't really get, how easy it is to train yourself to do things.
Well, I've been trained my whole life to do things, and anything that really helped me, I took very seriously.
Exactly. So even though the outer accoutrements are being denied you, you've had the experience, and you can replay that experience.
You know what this is?
The more often you replay it, the more vivid it will be, and the more you respond to it.
You know what this reminds me of? When I was a classical pianist, how we would practice, like, the day before, we would want to rest our muscles. And so what we would do was play the whole concert in our minds.
Wow.
And we would imagine our fingers playing the whole thing, and we would go through the whole program in our minds without ever moving a finger.
Right.
That's what
But it has
saying,
to be in
right?
real time. You can't just say, played page
no,
one, played page. No, you really have to do it.
Every single moment, every single sensation.
Yeah. Oh, this is going to work so well for you because you already have that skill. Fabulous.
I don't know why I couldn't make the connection like that, but thank you for doing for me.
Yes.
It's really, really, really wonderful.
Yeah.
Really
wonderful.
That was
also something that Jean Houston taught us, was that if you have a skill and there's a skill that you don't have, that you enter the skill you don't have through the one you already have.
Well, that's a very big philosophy. I do understand it.
Right.
That if you know one thing well, you can transpose that into anything in life.
Yes.
Anything. Yeah. Well, I really appreciate the connection you made. Like I said, I've been overworking my brain in ways that I kind of lost touch with that part that knows how to relax and remember the things I need to remember. I'm just consuming information as if like I'm an aardvark with my nose in an anthill.
You know, in the 6 months after my surgery, I had to make lists for myself. If you have this kind of pain, these are the things you can do. If this is happening, these are the things you can do. Because when I was in those states, I couldn't remember anything.
Yeah, that's. You know,
so I made cue cards for myself. And if I was in just, you know, if I was really just in too much pain to even do any of the things, I could give the cue card to somebody else so they could say, oh, when you're in this pain, the heating pad will help you. Here's the heating pad. I'm like,
Well, the saddest thing is I'm all alone.
Oh, I hear you. I hear you. That's hard.
There are people in my life, but they are not, like, with me, if you know what I'm saying.
I do know what you're saying.
Yeah. And I remember there were studies before this all happened. I was very interested in knowing that athletes that had been paralyzed, they would make them watch the videos of when they were running and playing the game. And it actually activated their dead muscles and got them to move as if they were actually out there on the field doing their thing.
The brain always has an image of our physical perfection. It only can be changed by our constantly reminding it that something is different. And if we stop reminding it that something is different, then it goes back to its image of ourselves as perfect.
Well, that's one of the reasons nobody's with me is because I'm keeping people sort of out of bay because the interference. You know, you said something a couple weeks ago, I think, about you didn't really listen to recorded music because you didn't appreciate secondhand emotion. And that really struck a chord with me. And I don't know where I'm going with this, but as a lover of music, I had to really meditate on that to try to understand what you were saying because I know you love music. You sing all the time. You take singing lessons.
Yeah. That's why I said recorded music.
But that's your voice that you love. And
well, it's not necessary. I love everybody's voice when they're singing. I like when any music that's live, that's being made
live
right now. That's part of the emotional milieu that I am in.
Right. And I think that is another key to my healing. And my oldest, bestest friend and teacher, she was my first second mother. She lived to be 104 years old.
All right.
And when I tried to give her recorded music, she said, oh, I don't listen to hand music.
Interesting.
That's what I think.
Hand music.
Hand music.
Oh, canned. C-A-N-N-E-D. Canned. Not hand.
No, hand. H-A-N-D.
No, I think she was saying canned.
No, she was saying hand. Because I asked her, what do you mean? She said, don't hand me that music.
Okay.
To give her a cassette or a CD. Don't hand me that music. If you want to play it for me, play it for me, she would say.
I see.
Hand music. She was born in Poland and came to America, in the early 20s.
Got it.
And
I'm wondering if you might not say goodbye and leave a little room tonight for somebody else.
Well, of course I will. And thank you for the chat. And
you're welcome.
Appreciate your wisdom.
Thanks. Good night. Thanks for sharing.
Good night. Bye.
All right, and it looks like we have two callers that have pressed 1 to raise their hands with a question. Our next caller has dialed in from the 847 area code. From the 847, you are live with Susan.
Hi, Susan.
Hi.
This is Stephanie calling.
Stephanie?
I'm calling because my daughter, who's 7, she's been having this eye issue where basically she'll like rub her nose and rub her finger, like lick her finger and then stick it on her eye, and has just been developing this like very red kind of like just like coloration. It almost looks like she's wearing like red pinkish makeup on her eyelids and below them. And I've tried all kinds of things like putting cool cloth and cucumber and dipping in like raw goat milk and what else? Like, I've been taking echinacea tincture. I'm like, maybe it's a bacterial thing. Taking elderberry, maybe it's a viral thing. Trying so many things, and it's like I put gloves on her hands, but she takes them back off, or she like rubs the gloves and they scratch her eye. And I'm just kind of at a loss of what is going on or what else I can do for her.
Mm.
And I thought maybe suggestions.
So one of the ideas that I had when my daughter was young was that if what's important to me is to listen to my body, then what's important to her is to listen to her body too.
Yeah.
Now, when she was very young, of course, she couldn't even read. So I would actually read to her from several books. I would say, we could do this, or we could do this, or we could do this. And we'd talk about which one felt the most likely to her. And then as she got older, I would pick the books and mark the places and let her read and decide what she wanted. And so I'm always wondering how we can find out from your daughter what's going on. This is one of the reasons I don't like doing secondhand consultations, because there's no way to find out. At least I can't. You have to somehow work with her to see if we can turn around this adversarial relationship that's developed. At least that's what it's sounding like to me, that it's like she's doing something, you don't understand it, it doesn't look right to you, and so you're going to stop that and heal it. And children especially are very resistant when we push back against them that way.
Yeah.
Adults are too, but they're a little more accommodating and or sneakier.
Yeah. I mean, she does say, oh, it's so itchy. Can you go get me the cloth so I can dip it in the milk, to like put it on my eye or get some cloth and some water.
So her eyes are very itchy.
They're itchy. They just feel so itchy. And she's like, I don't want to touch them, but they're so itchy. I need to itch them, Yeah, that's what she's saying, like all day.
Her eyes are itchy all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
Is there any chickweed available to you?
I tried in our greenhouse. It kind of freezes, thaws, and I took some, and I made some a poultice, but it was like, you know, slightly, it had been frozen already and defrosted, and it just wasn't really gooey, and she really, really did not like that at all. She was
got
really
it.
Happy.
I understand. Okay, I think the way that we want to go here is that we want to teach her how to use the energy in her hands to stop the itching.
Hmm.
Could you use the energy in your hands to stop the itching in her eyes?
In my own eyes?
No, in her eyes.
Oh, like...
I'm not suggesting you do it, but I'm asking you theoretically if you think you could.
Yeah, I mean, like when I've...
Yeah,
it,
right? So,
yeah.
So given that theoretically you can envision yourself doing that, then mm-hmm. it's possible for you to teach her to do that. I would have her rub her hands together until she felt some warmth, hold them a little apart, and kind of play with the energy, and talk to her about the healing power of the energy.
Mm-hmm.
And then have her make that energy and get it just the right temperature for her eyes. And the classic eye rest position is to rub your hands briskly together until they warm. In a seated posture, put your elbows on your knees with your palms and hands up, and drop your head and your eyes into your open palms. It's literally called palming the eyes.
Mm-hmm.
So your elbows are on your knees, your eyes are in your palms, and you rest like that. And the hand isn't actually touching the eyelid, right? Try it.
Right.
And you see,
yeah.
take your hand and you put the palm over the eye. The palm is like naturally a space there.
Yeah.
And so that itself, palming, is very restful and healing to the eyes. And if you also then help her understand that there's a healing energy in her hands, which can take away the itch. She just has to tell it to do it.
Okay, and is this kind of like helping change that her bodily behavior? Like, when I feel this, I do this. Is it kind of like shifting that?
I think that's one aspect of it. You know,
yeah.
we could be calling this Reiki if we wanted to. We could be calling it, you know, anything. But we know that everywhere in the world, people recognize that there is a special energy in the palms of the hands.
Right.
And that energy is an energy that's very useful for healing and especially for easing itching and pain. Itching pain burns. There are people who are considered hand healers for burns in Appalachia. Anybody gets burned, they go to the woman who heals the burns.
Oh, wow. Didn't know about
right?
that.
And she does it just with this energy from her hands. Because different people seem to be able to, shall we say, use it at different wavelengths.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's like a signal that you want this energy to emit to the energy field of the eyes, which says, it's okay to look.
Yeah. I know.
So, Yeah.
I was going to say, I know with, like, the seven medicines, you know, because this has been happening for at least a month, maybe a little longer. It gets worse. It gets better. It gets worse. And I know with the seven medicines, kind of there's this idea of giving myself or giving her, like, a timeline of, like, okay, we're going to try this out for this amount of time. And then, you know, if there's not a shift, so it feels like it's been so long that it's been, that her eyes have been in this situation.
However, it sounds to me, and maybe it's just the way you've been talking about it, like you haven't actually tried any one thing for a length of time, but a little of this, a little of that, a little of the other thing.
Yeah, yeah, I've been not understanding.
Kind of bouncing all over the place, right? Step zero, the first thing is to do nothing for a time limit.
Yeah, we did that.
Then, right, then to, right, to get information about it, which is what I'm suggesting. What does she say about this? What is her feeling about it? What does her body say? Right, and then engage the energy, which I'm suggesting with her hands. And it's way, you know, way, way far away before you start doing the, maybe it's the virus, I'm going to use this, or maybe it's a bacteria, I'm going to use that. That's already far into, it's across the gap, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Which is part of the thing that I say, is that people tend to start on the far side of the gap, which means that if you guess wrong, you can really do some injury.
Yeah.
Whereas if you're working with the techniques and the ideas that we've been talking about tonight, the first four medicines, serenity medicine, story medicine, mind medicine, and lifestyle medicine, even if you don't get it exactly, you know, right, you're going to improve health.
Yeah.
So let's see where these things take us. And if we can help her figure out a way to relieve her distress.
Yeah, it's a good discussion.
Rather than relying on technology or the adults.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That sounds good. Yeah, I know I've called you in the past, too, where she had, she just gets eczema also on her, a lot of her body and just feels itchy. There's this itchy thing that she has. And you talked about, like, make a special, like, a, you know, a magical bomb, you know, salve with her. And we did that, and she went through the whole thing. We need to make more for the rest of her body.
Did it help her?
Yeah, I think she did feel empowered about, like, I made this. I'm going to put this on myself.
Oh.
And, yeah.
Oh, how wonderful. Oh, I'm so happy to hear that. Good.
Yeah.
And again, just like with the other caller, for now when you don't have any, pretend you're using it.
Yeah, yeah.
The body is already trained and cued into having relief from it.
Right.
We all know this as parents. We've all kissed a boo-boo. And no one would say, oh, yes, you know, I did that for the healing power of my spit. No, we're acting symbolically there, and we understand that acting symbolically is a healing act.
Yeah, yeah. Well, thank you. We'll try that out, and or she'll try that out, and I'll kind of make it,
Yeah, there's several things to work with there, and I think that your focus is on seeing if you can ease up on the attack.
Yeah, yeah, she does not like it.
She really doesn't.
No, it looks so like.
And I understand that it's coming out of your love and your care. I really do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It looks like it's on fire, you know, it just looks so bad.
I totally hear you. Yeah, I was listening. Many of you know that Saturday morning I listen to Women's Declaration International. They have a Zoom meeting with four women from around the world talking about, you know, their experience of the transgender agenda and ideology. And one of the women this past Saturday said that her husband died, and it was that she really had no idea of how to cope with that. Her husband, she had two small children, and she just really didn't, like, understand what to do. So she went to her doctor, and she said, I think I have to be a man in order to take care of my family. And the doctor said, fine, I'll put you on testosterone. Do you want to schedule your breast removal? Which, first of all, was pretty horrifying.
Yeah.
That the doctor couldn't, like, understand this as symbolic.
Yeah.
Which is a lot of what we've been talking about tonight, to understand that our psyches are going to throw up symbolic things, and it doesn't necessarily mean that she really needs to turn herself into a man. Anyhow, she did take the testosterone, and she took it long enough for one of those kids to become a teenager, what her girl became. She said, gee, Mom, I think I'll be a boy, too. And she said, at that point, she said, I did a 180-degree turn on the whole thing, she said, because really I was filled with so much self-loathing that I didn't really care what I did to hurt myself, she said, but I loved and adored my daughter and didn't want to hurt her at all.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
So it was like, oh, wow, you know, it was like, phew. She said, and I'm so glad, you know, that I didn't have surgery and that I was able to get off the hormones. And she's now a very powerful voice for saying, stop this craziness, gang. There are indeed people out there who, you know, will benefit by that, but not when they're teenagers. Not when they're teenagers. Let's just agree on that.
Yeah.
Way too soon, and it's going to mess your body up big time. And she said, you know, she could, as an adult, she could take testosterone and then stop taking it. It wasn't too terrible for her. But when she saw her teenage daughter was going to do it totally, she said, oh, my gosh, this will ruin her for her life.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that it's really important that we help our children be in touch with their selves so that they can resist this kind of peer pressure and social media push.
Yeah. I mean, we homeschool our daughters too, and because we very much feel all of that. So
yeah.
All
right. Thanks for calling and sharing with us. And call back in 3 or 4 weeks and let's see what's going on, okay?
Okay, thank you, Susan. Have a good
You're
night.
You're welcome. Green blessings. Good night.
All right, and it looks like we have three callers that have pressed 1 to signal that they have a question. Our next caller has dialed in from the 828 area code. From the 828, you are live with Susan.
Hi, Susan. My name is Jenna. How are you tonight?
I'm doing well. Jenna, how about you?
I'm very well, thanks. I actually, I have been in your presence before when I was young, and have not been around you since. Life has taken me on quite a journey, but has led me through the Appalachian Mountains and eventually made my way back home. I'm not in Woodstock. I'm up closer to Canada in Rochester now. And I am now 43, and I have been going through a tremendous amount of healing and realizing the power that I hold in my own health, the culpability that I hold, and how I can produce suffering in my body or I can produce healing in my body. But I'm new to all of this work, new to herbalism. I plan on coming to see you to spend some time with you and have you educate me a bit more at some point during the summer or fall. That said, in going through this healing journey, there is a lot of toxicity that is getting released. And I'm now a registered nurse So I have to, well, I don't have to, but I do work within the confines of conventional industrialized medicine a lot, though that is not where I personally choose to start from. I've had ongoing digestive issues that have been analyzed by, you know, conventional Western medicine specialists, and ultimately the answer has been the same, which is adjust your diet. Okay, got it. And, right, of course, right, and that they believe that it's both a diet issue but also a psychosomatic issue. I can remember being in fifth grade and having diarrhea in the mornings from anxiety. But even now, in concentrating on the principle of be here now and realizing my own strength, I'm finding that there is still a disconnect with my body, and I'm having diarrhea throughout the day, which, again, toxicity is being released, so I'm not surprised. I've also been leaning into earth medicine more, so I realize that that is part of it as well. But
well,
you
understand that I could not disagree with you more.
Really? Tell me, educate me, please.
The earth is a closed system. There cannot be a toxin in a closed system or it crashes.
Hmm.
There are no toxins. There is no toxicity. I don't know what you're talking about. And for sure, toxicity doesn't give you diarrhea if it existed.
Okay. So do you think
everything you're saying, I completely disagree with.
Huh. If you were...
Your liver, your skin are designed to keep you in a healthy state by removing metabolic byproducts and any incidentals that you might take in. That system is already set up. From sulfurous gas, from volcanoes, to, you know, whatever. Your body is designed not to keep things that don't aid it.
Okay. So then,
as a matter of fact, what I often say to people, I don't understand this, if toxins stayed in our body, then we would only have to give drugs to people once, right?
That does make sense to me. When we're trying to address the source of this, I mean, it's obviously very disruptive. You know, I'm in the healing arts, so it's difficult for me to, like, you know, stop in the middle of conversing with a patient to go, you know, unload in the bathroom. So I'm wondering,
I know.
I'm wondering, what can we do? Where is it coming from, and what can we do?
Well, I mean, I will tell you what you learned, which is Brett.
Brett. Mm-hmm.
Brett. White bread, white rice, applesauce, and black tea.
Okay.
Stops diarrhea.
But the chronic
and the thing that stopped
it
for me when I had diarrhea from radiation, and I'm talking about I had to go to the bathroom every 3 minutes.
Yes. Yeah.
Unripe banana.
Okay.
Green banana, and I mean banana so hard I had to cut it with a knife.
Favorite kind.
And that really, like that, like just like boom, you know, it not only stopped, it's like constant going, it stopped the pain, which was pretty bad.
I can't imagine what that's like. Slippery elms, I bought some. I've been trying to reference some of your stuff online when I have a second.
And the slippery elm you bought is the powder or the pieces, or
I'm sorry, can you repeat that?
Yeah, tell me what form you bought Supri-Elm in.
Sure, in tablet form that I would just chew up in my mouth and swallow.
Uh-huh. I don't find those effective at all.
You didn't what?
I don't find the tablets effective.
Oh, really? Okay, so powder forms then?
What I like to do is buy the powder, mix it with honey, and make it into a lozenge that you can hold in your mouth and let slowly dissolve over a 15 to 20 minute period.
Okay.
So you are really coating the whole digestive tract.
Beautiful.
The tablets have binders and fillers.
Okay.
So they're
well, that
not,
helps it, tremendously.
Yeah. There's an interesting idea that the large intestine takes the energy out of the food. And the small intestine takes the nutrition or the physical properties.
Very interesting.
And so when there is constant output, we want to see if we can have some understanding of why the body is rejecting the energy of the food. Because that's what's happening,
oh,
right?
That makes a lot of sense to me. Yep. All right. Taking notes. Thank you for that.
Yeah. Yeah. So one of the things that I have found is, and one of the themes tonight, we're very easily trained. Not every single day, but in certain situations where it really serves me, I will go outside and find any wild plant to be the first thing in my mouth.
Wow, okay.
And I say to my body, this is it. Everything you eat today is going to be wild, and it's going to be completely nourishing, and you are going to be completely happy with it.
Beautiful. Simplicity, as close to the ground as possible.
Close to the ground, make that the first thing in my mouth, set my body up for that, and then, you know, deal with whatever pandemonium is going on, because we know it is.
Yeah.
But we've given our body the signal that pandemonium is not going to live inside our physical being. It's going to be outside, and we're going to use our skill to deal with it, but we're not going to eat it. Because that's
yeah,
also
that
part
of
what you're
sense.
Doing, is you're eating a lot of other people's distress.
Mm.
And it's not agreeing with you.
Well, that's food for thought. It is, though. I mean, it really, it makes a lot of sense because it's every morning.
Right.
So I'm waking up and, you know, in that state, and even though I'll grab for something, it could be closer to the ground, right? Like, let's be honest. I mean, it's okay, but it's not as close to the ground as it could be. So perhaps that's a place for me to start. And develop more of a relationship between the brain and gut and body and
right, exactly and some ritual when you leave work that you leave it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I know how hard that is.
Yes.
They stay with us. They cling to us. And so not only did I have a ritual for leaving it, but also I felt that I also had to have something before I went to sleep. And what worked for me was to light a pink candle and say, this candle flame now burns away anything that prevents these people from experiencing full health.
Mm-hmm.
Then I would blow the candle flame out and go to sleep peacefully, knowing I had done everything that can be done.
Beautiful. Beautiful. It really is. It's a healing journey, you know, especially for those of us who, you know, I had the privilege of growing up in Woodstock and being around people like you and my non-bio papa, Isaac Abrams, and his partner. Like, I grew up around beautiful people like you all, but, you know, there's a certain conditioning, I think, that happens to those of us who don't maybe who don't understand or who, you know, prioritize other things in their life at different times that kind of prevent us from really being on that journey. So I'm just thankful that eventually I found my way back and that I'm teaching myself now, because it's never too late. And yeah, those things stick with us.
And Gene Houston says that our psyche travels with us all the time, deep underground, and that when mm-hmm. we call it, it emerges, but it's always been there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I'm a behavioral health nurse, so that makes a lot of sense to me.
It really is there. It's never abandoned mm-hmm. you.
Right, yeah.
And now you say, come to me, and it's full of joy and ready to be with you.
Beautiful. Thank you so much.
Thank
being
you.
For the help, and I look forward to being in your presence again.
To be continued. Good blessings.
Absolutely.
Good night.
You too. Thank you. Good night.
All right, and there are three hands raised that have pressed one, and the next caller has dialed in from the 845 area code. From the 845, you are live with Susan.
Hello.
Hi.
This is Justine.
Oh, it's Justine. Hey, honey. Well, we figured it out. There isn't anybody tonight. That's why I couldn't find it.
There's nobody. Yeah.
You're
sorry.
Right, there's nobody.
My bad.
It's
everybody
right.
talked about it. We all forgot to tell you.
Everybody was supposed to tell me, but at least Sarah Ellen knew.
None of us did. Oops, sorry.
It's okay.
But I love you.
I'm so glad you do.
I wanted to say about itchy eyes. I've been having an eye infection in my left eye, and I was using tea bags, and it was working really well, chamomile, and then it stopped working, and I started using honey, and that seems to do it. I'm not sure yet. I don't know if you remember, but I got stung by wasps in my face, and they threw poison, like acid, in my face last month when I got my car broken down here in Costa Rica.
Right, right,
and,
yes.
And I've just been getting an infection in this.
What a good idea to put honey on your eye.
Yeah.
So I hope the woman's listening. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Ew,
and chamomile
have...
tea bags, that's so easy and neat. Mess free.
Exactly.
Exactly. And how are your eyes now? Are they better?
Oh, not so great, but, you know, I'm getting up.
But you've been getting what?
I'm getting up at 5 in the morning to take care of my guests.
Got it, yes.
I guess, because I'm not sleeping enough, you know.
And that's hard on the eyes.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
But massaging them and keeping them moist and just doing the eye and putting the honey on it or tea bags and keeping it moist and warm is allowing it to continue to heal itself, even though
there's definitely some damage there from the wasps that threw acid in my face. Very unfriendly wasp.
Really mean wasps. Goodness.
Right?
Right.
So that's it. Anyhow. Can't wait to see you again soon. Love you.
Mm-hmm.
I won't take up more of your time because there's people that have questions.
All righty. I love you. Thanks for calling.
Love you. Good night.
Good night.
Good night, Christine. All right. And I'll remind everyone listening. That was such a treat. Yeah. If you've got a question and would like to speak live with Susan this evening, please press 1 so that we can see your hand in the queue. The next caller that has pressed 1 has dialed in from the 203 area code. From the 203, you are live with Susan.
And I want to remind everybody that we don't have a guest tonight. That's what Justine was saying. Because, of course, I was emailing and messaging everybody. Who's the guest? Where's the guest? What about? So finally she got my message and said, there isn't one. So we have the whole 2 hours for questions. So keep on calling in. We got lots more time. All right. And who is this? Hi.
Excellent. Hello. This is Nora. I called a couple weeks ago about my dog's mouth, but actually tonight I'm calling about my mouth.
Okay.
I should just preface this by saying I am totally full of fear and freaking out, which I know is not beneficial in any way, but basically I have a lump in my lower lip that is, I would say, like if you were to insert a finger, it would be further down towards my chin, like maybe one knuckle length. So not right on my lip, but like kind of lower down my jaw-ish area. And I don't know if it's where the lymph nodes are, but needless to say,
Is this inside your mouth or outside your mouth?
It is inside. However, I can feel it from the outside. It feels almost like the size of a pea or maybe a slightly smaller than a green pea.
Okay,
but,
so help me now. If you take your hand on the outside and put it under your ear at the L of your jawbone, and then move it, stroke it toward your chin, is this lump anywhere along that line?
It is, I would say, right in the crease area of where, you know, like where your lip turns into your chin, like right in that crease.
Okay. All right. So it's kind of in the middle.
Yep.
As the lip comes down into the chin so that it's kind of inside at the down at the base of the gums, and you can feel it from the outside as well.
Yes, I can. Yep. Okay. It does not seem to be superficial.
Now,
when
you feel it, you said it's like a pea. I'd like you to close your eye and put a finger on your eye and move your finger around. You notice that you're moving your eyelid, but your eye is kind of like separate from it, right?
Right.
Okay. Now, I want you to take that same finger and put it on the tip of your nose and move the finger the same way. And your whole end of your nose is moving, right?
It is. Yep.
Okay. Now, this lump feels like which thing?
I would say... More similar to the eye, like not moving quite as much.
Cancer are cells that are in place that are overgrowing. So a cancerous lump generally isn't movable without moving the whole area.
Right.
Right? Whereas a cyst or growth is usually you can move the area around it. It's not mm-hmm. a definitive diagnosis, but it's safer than eating only red mushrooms, for instance.
Right.
In that, the first word that I heard from was fear. So I think mm-hmm. that we can dial the fear down a little bit. It's unlikely okay. that it's cancer.
Can I give a little context, just life history stuff?
Certainly.
That I feel is relevant. So it's been years that I was a hard drug user in my 20s and now in my 30s. I actually used to smoke black tar heroin and, you know, pretty awful for your health, obviously. And so I guess that's where the fear is coming from. Like, oh, no, you know, I did something.
I don't understand. I do not understand why it's bad for your health. Heroin is not bad for your health. Making it illegal is bad for your health, but heroin is not bad for your health.
Well, all my teeth have fillings. Like, my teeth have completely taken
and
a hit.
Was that because you didn't go to a dentist?
No, I think I just got so malnourished, just kind of living that lifestyle.
That was your choice to be malnourished.
Yes.
How long does a heroin high last?
The high? Gosh, no.
It's short, isn't it?
It is, but it's so...
We're not talking an 8-hour LSD trip here. We're talking under 15 minutes.
Yes, but you...
The rest of your day and the rest of your life is yours.
Yes.
Don't blame it on heroin.
True.
Don't blame it on heroin.
Okay.
In places where it's not illegal and people have access to a dose a day, they are perfectly productive and healthy citizens.
Yes.
Yep. Now, I don't know about the black tar stuff. That sounds kind of gnarly.
It is. Yeah, not good for lungs or mouth, I'm sure. But yeah, I just, it. Who knows? Maybe it's from that. Maybe it's not from that.
I think what's really germane here is you're not required to punish yourself for any possible past sin.
Hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You don't have to suffer the consequences of what you did.
Yeah, thank you. You're right.
Yeah. You coped with your life the best way you knew how at the time. It was kind of inelegant.
Mm-hmm.
But you didn't have better choices.
No.
Well, you had better choices,
and it worked.
When you had better choices, you took them. Hooray for you.
Yes.
Give yourself a lot of credit for making those better choices and let yourself mm-hmm. off the hook for what you did when you didn't have better choices.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah.
No punishment is required.
I guess, yeah, I'm very afraid of going to the mainstream doctor. I don't know how you feel about German New Medicine, but they say everything is an emotional shock that manifests. I don't know if you are on board with that, but I was told that something in the mouth, like specifically the lips, are related to something called a morsel conflict. I have no idea. I'm just trying to make some sense.
We can understand symbolism from an emotional perspective where we can try to wrest symbolism into shape from an intellectual perspective. And I have never found wresting symbolism into shape from an emotional perspective to be highly productive for a lot of people, although for some people it can be quite useful. If you were standing in a pouring rain, would you get wet?
Yes.
Because of a prior trauma?
Definitely not.
Aha! So it's possible to have a health consequence occur because of standing in the pouring rain without a prior trauma.
Absolutely.
That isn't to say that there might not be prior trauma. And we've all suffered traumas.
Oh, yeah.
So it's a pretty glib thing to say, oh, you know, what you're experiencing has to do with some trauma in your life. Well, we'd all have to raise our hand and say, yes, there is trauma in my life.
Yeah.
But does that mean that this thing that's happening right now is a direct consequence of that trauma? I don't think so. There are some things in which I certainly see the through line. My lover, Fern, came out with her gym teacher in high school. They were discovered. The gym teacher was fired, and Fern was forced out on homosexual dates. On heterosexual dates. She was forced to go out with boys, one of whom raped her and made her pregnant.
Oh.
She was put into a home for unwed mothers, allowed to labor up to transition, knocked out. The child ripped out of her with forceps. She never saw her child. Are we surprised that Fern died of cervical cancer?
No.
No.
Nope. Nope. Yeah, they would say, from German New Medicine, they would say that's linked to your offspring, probably, like the founder who developed testicular cancer after his son was murdered.
Right.
And he made that connection, yeah.
Right. There are through lines, but it's not that the murder of the son caused the testicular cancer, or that what happened to Fern caused her cervical cancer. What caused her cervical cancer was something else. But because of that trauma, there was a surround of trauma that kept her from noticing it. Because, of course, at the time that was happening, her mother was in her very last stages of Alzheimer's, which is very difficult for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
So our lives are not easily put together. To know what is cause and effect is trying for the best of minds. And so I prefer a softer view of it rather than this causes that, that these things tend to occur in tandem. Because what's really important is for us not to think that if we fix the trauma, we'll get better. Trauma can't be fixed. Trauma cannot.
Right.
It's trauma. We can soothe and heal and ease our traumatized selves, but the trauma was the trauma, just like that rain, right?
Right.
Right.
So what would you suggest in,
so,
I guess,
a big helping of self-forgiveness.
Okay.
And one of the themes of tonight is a question to your body. Excuse me, what is this? Do I need to do something here? is this just one of those kind of strange things that's going to come and go? Or am I? Do I really need to take some action here? Your body will be very, very clear about it. I've been watching some animations done with clay, and one of them was a woman calling her mother and talking to her about her chemotherapy for her breast cancer. And she says, remember when I got the biopsy, she said, you know, I wasn't really surprised because I had a feeling already that I knew that I had cancer. She said, I just didn't know that it was stage four.
Hmm. Wow.
And I have found both of these things to be very true, that the vast majority of people who have cancer know, and they know right away. They might play a little, you know, shuffle game there to try to keep themselves from knowing that they know. But they're not surprised when they get the diagnosis. But at the same time, it's hard to believe how far it might have gotten.
Right. That's definitely where my mind first went, because it's not painful in the slightest. It doesn't feel like anything I've experienced, like any other infection that's inflamed or, you know, irritated. Although I guess it could also
just be a cyst. It could just be a cyst, you know?
Yep. Yeah.
That's my guess.
Okay.
Right, this is a good situation to engage the energy and set a time limit. I want to be aware of this, and if it hasn't changed in a month, then I will continue to be aware of it, and if it has gotten bigger, then maybe I will seek further information.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah, that makes sense.
Cancers grow.
Mm-hmm.
That's what makes them cancer, right?
Right. Yep.
And cancers tend to double. So once they're big enough to feel, they get bigger fast.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So within a month, you will notice if it's grown. It's not going to be some subtle thing.
Okay.
Remember the cancer that they cut out of me, right?
Mm-hmm.
Grew a centimeter and a half in 5 days?
Yes. Wow.
Seven centimeters. 5 days later when they cut it out, 8.5 centimeters. Once it's growing, it's growing.
Yeah.
You know, and this is how it gets so quickly, so difficult. So you're
right.
Wise to be wary. I don't think it's cancer. I'm not picking up from you that you really think it's cancer either. You want to scare yourself a little bit, and that's okay.
Yeah, I'm.
That's
I'm
fine.
Kind of at a loss. Do you happen to know if it were a cyst, what the protocol would be for something like that? Do they have to lance it and, like, remove a cyst surgically?
If it's merely a cyst, they usually don't remove them because they just grow back.
Oh. Okay.
Cysts are pretty resistant to treatment.
Hmm. Okay.
Especially if it's not causing you any pain and it's not distorting your face.
Right? Not at this point.
Yeah. So if you make some comfrey infusion and you want to tuck some comfrey in there to do a little poultice, some of the spent comfrey leaf, you know, just keep it far enough down in there that you can tuck it in like a wad of chewing tobacco, right?
Yes, I can.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay, good.
Okay. I will try that. Thank you.
Ah,
thank you so much.
Thank you for sharing with us. Very much appreciated.
Yeah.
Green blessings. Good night.
Green blessings. Good night.
All right. And on my everyone listening, we do not have an interview coming up this evening, so we have about 20 minutes left for Susan to answer your questions. So if you have a question and would like to speak live with Susan this evening, please press 1 so that we can see your hand go up in the queue. At this time, there are two callers with their hands raised. The next caller has dialed in from the 845 area code. From the 845, you are live with Susan.
Good evening. This is me.
Hello. I'm so glad to hear your voice.
I'm glad to hear your voice, and hospice is happy to consider me finished with them because I didn't die in 6 months. Headline. And I didn't die. But my problem is that I don't live either. I'm exhausted. Even if I eat a small meal, I fall asleep after that. Something is definitely wrong. Okay, I have a heart failure. And it's not getting better. And I feel like I am living dead. I try to move more. Anytime I move more, I hurt more. And I don't know what to do.
What do you want to do?
I want to be able to walk around, to be more awake than asleep, not to be a sponge. In my infantile thinking, I joined for a day or two the chronic pain 12-step group, and in 3 days I was so sick without hearing anything that I sponge unconsciously my environment's pain and people's pain, and I told you about that already. So I want to be clean. I want to be able to separate. I want to do what I want to do. I finally have some time, actually. I want to enjoy my aloneness by doing the things I like to do. I do love to dance, but anyway, I do Feldenkrais. I do some writing in very minimal amount. I do prayer, and I hurt people. I am helping people who hurt, and I want, still crying, I want a close relationship, and it's really not about sex, it's about intimacy, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Really feel all of the many words that we have shared about where you are and where you've been and where you want to be.
Mm-hmm.
And how you are and how you've been and how you want to be. And how we, each one of us, are given what seems to be insurmountable obstacles on the way to what seem to us to be fairly simple desires. I'd just like to be intimate with someone. Doesn't seem to be much to ask now, does it? And yet that, you know, very simple need turns out to by circumstance, be very difficult. Because it's not just anyone. We don't want to have relationships with just anyone. We want to have relationships with people that there's some sense that we share fundamentally.
Yeah.
I think it's the reason that romance novels sell so well. Is that for many, life hasn't turned out happily ever after the way we thought it would. And perhaps using our imagination to imagine that we have that is half of it. Anyhow, what's that song? Good Night, My Someone. Do you remember that song from, was the Music Man? Lovely song. So to give ourselves that joy of loving that someone that we don't yet know. To give yourself as much of that sense of intimacy and joy as you can tolerate without holding it hostage to having to have a real person.
Yeah, reality is hard for me anyway.
Reality is hard, yeah. And
yeah.
And what is reality? You know, I often come back to sitting in the woods, being a little maudlin and saying, I'm all alone. Here I am, all alone. As I heard myself say that in my mind, I burst out loud into laughter. I thought, sure, here you are all alone with the goats and how many critters in the woods and all these plants, and there's at least one mosquito who's looking for your blood.
Oh, many, many.
Oh, yeah. All, poor Susan is all alone. So I encourage you to create an imaginary world that's exactly the way you want it and to spend as much time as you can there.
That's why I read so many books.
Yes. Again, I want to acknowledge your accomplishments and the many gifts that you have given to so many throughout your life. And that it's wise and appropriate to, at a certain personally driven time, say, now it's all for me. Now I don't have any promises to keep. You've given lavishly, you've given beautifully. You've changed many lives. You've touched many hearts. If what works best for you right now is to spend your time in ways that you might consider frivolous, it's okay.
Yeah, I had a frivolous event like that on my 80th birthday. I prayed to the ether that I want 50 oysters for my appetizer at the dinner. And I forgot about it. And about the day before my birthday, my cousin is calling me and said, "Oh, I'm here. He's in California and travels all over the world. Can I take you to dinner tomorrow?" I said, "Yeah." He didn't know it was my birthday, but at the dinner table, he asked me what I want, and I said, "You know, I didn't think that I'm going to have dinner with you, but I want 50 oysters like Casanova." Casanova ate 50 oysters every day of his life.
Every day? Oh, my. I hope somebody else opened them for him.
I can do that easily. I mean, I want those 50 oysters, no problem.
So they had oysters at the restaurant you were at and you got your 50 oysters?
It's very expensive. Red onion, yeah. And I don't know how that happened, but the miracle happened that on my birthday I got my 50 oysters.
That is so perfect, absolutely perfect.
Yes. Well, it's something I can't imagine doing. I have to really eat them.
No, you can't. It's not imaginable. You must actually do it.
Uh-huh. They're delicious.
Mm. Yes, I have a weakness for oysters myself.
Yeah.
And it's one of my favorite dates ever. Was when I was taken to the Oyster House under Grand Central Station.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. Oh, I know that place, yes.
Thank you, Pauline. Mwah. Love you, honey. She's dead, but she hears me.
Well, it is unbelievable. There are all kinds of sauces, but I want it with no sauce and no dressing and no lemon and no cucumber, nothing, just the oyster with the salt in it. That's it. They are very good at red onion, but they are extremely expensive. They bring them from Canada.
Ooh, lovely. Lovely.
They are good, yeah.
I'm with you. If I'm going to eat oysters, it's just going to be an oyster. I don't even want salt on it. I just want the oyster. Thank you.
If I win the lottery, I take you out on your birthday and you can eat unlimited amounts of oysters. We can eat that together.
Buy more tickets.
Yeah. But all my life, well, I don't have interest in money, and I managed to divorce a very rich husband without taking and expecting or demanding any money. But for oysters, you need money.
It's so true. Now, did you say to hospice, "Okay, I didn't die in 6 months. Now you're leaving me. Do I get to reapply? Do I get to try again?"
Well, it hit me like a hammer in the head this morning when my nurse came. And then after she left, I said, "Listen, I think this is a real gift, because when I am going to die, I can go back to the people I really loved and I spent this half a year together.
Yes.
And I will not die surrounded by strangers."
Right.
Yeah.
And that was the whole reason for getting in touch with hospice, right?
Yeah. I can.
You can reapply. You can give death another try at some later point.
Yes. Well, I'm planning after 120 to think about it.
Oh, Oh, you failed death 101. It's okay. You can take the course.
I can only sleep and eat, and still I want to live to 120. And nobody whom I love is allowed to die before me, God forbid.
Oh.
You can't say bless me.
If only that's true, huh?
Yeah.
I was talking with my friend Betsy, who's 80, and we were talking about that's kind of the unsaid difficulty of getting older is the number of people that just, you know, you have to say, I love you, and you're not here anymore.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a new season. I'm learning many things. And even though I'm not going to the Chronic Pain Anonymous, I did buy the book because it really faces the point of releasing control and frustration and anger about growing old. I mean, all those things are raw. We did not talk and learn about them as we grew up, and it's very important for transition, to make peace with things that are part of life.
Part of a long life.
Yeah, the long life.
They keep saying, you know, eat this way to live longer, exercise to live longer, but they never fess up that if you live longer, you're going to get old.
Right. Live longer, longer, younger.
No, it doesn't go that way.
Right. Yes, and the mind, you know, the mind understands that, but the heart is 5 years old.
How perfect that it should be that way.
Yeah, it's an interesting combination.
I think there's another hand that was raised, so I'm going to wish you green blessings and good night and see if I can answer that last person before our time is over. It's always a delight to hear your voice.
Blessings.
Green blessings. Good night.
All right, and we have one caller waiting, and they are dialed in from the 908 area code. From the 908, you are live with Susan.
Good evening.
Hello, in the 908. That, I'm not hearing the voice.
Well, I guess it's time for me to ask every one of you, what do you want to say to the people you love the most? It makes my heart so happy to see so many people embracing herbal medicine as their medicine, as people's medicine, using the herbs that grow outside their doors, in their backyards, no matter where that backyard is. Herbal medicine, safe, simple, local, is people's medicine, the Wise Woman way. Thank you all for being part of this. Good night.